Comedian Don Rickles has died at the age of 90 of kidney failure at his home in Los Angeles. For more than half a century, Mr. Warmth, or the Merchant of Venom, as he was known, headlined casinos and nightclubs from Los Angeles to Atlantic City, New Jersey, and appeared often on late-night TV talk shows. He managed to shock his audiences without cutting social commentary or truly personal self-criticism. He operated under a code as old as the Borscht Belt. Go far, ethnic jokes, sex jokes, ribbing Johnny Carson for his many marriages, but make sure everybody knows it's for fun. Here is a clip of Don Rickles as a guest on his friend Bob Newhart's 1989 sitcom Newhart, where Newhart's character Dick Loudon unwittingly becomes the sidekick and target of Rickles, an insult comic hired to host a new late-night talk show in Vermont.
My first guest tonight is a local talk show host, Dick Loudon. Would you walk a little faster? The show's only 90 minutes.
Nice to meet you, Don.
What happened? I run out of paper in the men's room?
Don, on behalf of WPIV, I'd like to welcome you to Vermont.
Gee, I get chills. Look who they sent me, the janitor, to welcome me to Vermont.
No, I'm not the janitor. I'm Dick Loudon. I host Vermont Today.
Well, who the hell watches that show? Some old, lonely lumberjacks and maybe one guy that works the ski lift.
No.
That's a nice suit, Dick. You wear that, and in 8 years, it'll come back in style.
Actually, Vermont Today was the first show to interview Congressman Joseph Scandori after he...
An old suit, isn't it?
After he was indicted for laundering cash.
You hate to part with the buck, don't you?
I spend bucks.
On what? Muscatel?
I don't drink.
Look at that, Dick. You're starting to blush, huh? You're starting to blush. Either that or he's thinking about me being naked.
To remember Don Rickles on the roundtable this morning, we go into the audio vault, or a shoebox in my basement, to play my interview from March 2001, where Don Rickles was promoting an upcoming appearance in Kingston, New York.
Do you enjoy going out on the road and doing
this? Well, I enjoy working very much still to this day. The only trouble is, Joe, that there is a problem sometimes with traveling. You know, it gets very tiresome after so many years, you know, and hopping planes and so forth. Otherwise, it's fine.
Does the act that you take on the road that you take to, say, Kingston, does that differ in any way from the act that you do in Vegas?
Not at all, because I deal with people, and I deal according to what's out there. And not sure I have a beginning, middle, and an ending, but I change the shows, change somewhat by the type of people I see.
So if I see you Tuesday night and then see you again Wednesday night, how much of that show is going to be different?
Well, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5%.
And the rest is pretty much...
I don't do jokes, so the rest is of standard in my mind, but really not, because as I say, as I work, I come up with things and I change things around, and if I only can tell you what public says to me. It says, oh, Don, it looks like you got a whole different performance. And really, sometimes it becomes, you know, a mixed bag, and so it always looks a little different.
So, Kato, how long are you married? 4 days! What the hell are you doing here? Get up in the room, work something out, for crying out loud. You can't just sit in the room, kid, with your sneakers on. You gotta do something. 4 days, God bless you. Young Jewish kid, right? Wonderful. If a father-in-law dies, what kind of work you out of?
Now, when you're doing your act, how do you decide what's sharp and funny and what's going too far?
Oh, no, not after almost 40 years, Joe. I don't think about that anymore. It's almost, you know, it's almost like clockwork in my head. I mean, I go out there and it all happens for me because you're so used to doing it, you know?
In the beginning, though, was that a fine line?
Well, at the beginning, I was, it was unheard of what I did, you know, compared to today's standards. My God, I'm a monk. But, I mean, language was never a problem with me, doing off-color language, but being very outspoken, and what I do is make fun of people and exaggerate it, and then they tag the word insult, and insult is not really the case. because if you insult somebody, you're offensive, and if you're offensive, nobody would come to see me. And so it became like a put-on thing, you know, and it became an in thing to do.
Was this act easier to do when folks were not so worried about being politically correct?
No, the act, only time the act is difficult when you're a complete unknown and you're doing something different. And so that was my only tough times of my career when I was a very young man, and I did a standard act of impressions and jokes, which weren't making it, and suddenly I started talking to the audience and talking about things was twirling around in my head, and it started to become very funny, and it became part of my performance. But people in Kingston are no different, in my opinion, than people in Las Vegas. And Las Vegas proves it, because you get, it's the boiling pot of America, and everybody between Las Vegas and Atlantic City, enough people go to these cities and the gambling Indian reservations, and they get to know what pretty much all humor is about.
And that the material that you go out with, is it fun for you to put that together? I mean, are you having a good time?
Oh, sure. Well, it's part of my personality, so it makes it extra fun, because I'm that way with my friends, sarcastic and biting and fun. And I do that all the time around my friends, and it's part of me, so it's something that I do without any thought to it.
So you're pretty much the same guy offstage as you are on.
Well, not quite. You know, when I'm home sitting now in my living room and watching a ball game or laying on the couch, I don't go around doing, you know, sir, where'd you get that jacket? I mean, so, I mean, that's for performance-wise. But, I mean, my basic personality has always been to be a ribber.
I've heard you to talk about your career in that you worked clubs and were very popular in clubs, but the real turning point was The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah, I would say so, yes. It was a very important time for me, yes. That's when the whole public got to know me, the country got to know me.
So what's new besides the competition?
I'll tell you what, I like competition.
I know you.
Yeah.
When you're on 26 years, I mean, where's the challenge?
Gives you a charge.
Yeah, but what do you need a charge? 26 years, walk away, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, 26 years, I sat with Ed the other night. He said, how long is he going to keep going like this? He's worried about that little tap dancer on Star Search. Gloria Kowalczyk. 3:41, Gloria opens up at the Palace in Encino Friday. With a 3:41. That show is annoying, Ed. Came up the hard way. You one day, that guy Al Mancini, is that his name? I thought he was an Italian football player. He came up, and you and your wife, you sit there, a 4, a 5, a 4.6 for a broad that throws a baton in the air and misses. And then gets a job on this show. Well, he's down there out here. After 26 years, you reach.
That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
You got it. All right, we get off. One for that.
Right. Previous to that, I was what they call the in comic. I mean, in Los Angeles, and in Florida, and certainly in New York, outside of New York, everybody knew who Don Rickles was, but that was it.
What is it about that show, do you think, that made the difference?
Well, I think it was an event. The chemistry with Carson was magnificent for me. I mean, he was wonderful for me, and every time I went on it, as some, a lot of people still like to think, it became an event. It was something that nobody wanted to miss, because we never knew what we were going to say or talk about, and it always came out funny, and Johnny Carson always made me look good.
Do you miss him?
Oh, very much so.
Is there anybody out there like that now who can
have that
rapport with?
David Letterman has been very good to me, and I have good times with him on his show.
So you must love coming back to New York City, huh?
Well, I do, except I'm going busted because the wife's in every store in town.
Yeah.
The wife's on
a lot of shopping.
Oh, she's got a black belt in shopping.
Uh-huh.
And she just gets up in the morning and goes, I want to see the Jew go broke.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and Jewish people, we usually don't go broke. We buy trees. Anyway, we buy trees.
Uh-huh.
Damn, that was a good one. I can't understand it. Anyway, you know, when you get an Iowa audience, it's
yeah, rough. I know, it's difficult.
But
do that cricket stuff again. They seem to enjoy that.
No, I'll do what I want, David.
Okay.
I don't need you to tell me what I do, David. You understand?
Oh, I understand.
You do your stuff with these young comedians that come on. I put in a lot of years. It's a big shock for me to be on this Mickey Mouse show. Don't turn on it.
And Larry King, of course, he too has been great to me, so. That's pretty much the way it goes now, so I'm happy about that.
Of course, you've always been known for the comedy, but also an accomplished actor as well. Do you enjoy the acting?
Well, thank you, Joe. Well, when I started out, I got more breaks as an actor. But then when you get such a strong image as I have as the the Emperor, Mr. Wong, the insult guy, you know, which I can't complain about. But I built up such a strong image in nightclubs of what I do that producers were a little frightened to continue to have me in movies. And so the last picture I did was Casino, which with Martin Scorsese, and he definitely wanted me. And that's the way it has to happen with me. The producer or the director really has to say, we got to have Don Rickles. And that doesn't happen too often. But I'm very proud of my credits and what I've done in film.
And most recently, Toy Story films. You were Mr. Potato Head.
That was a lot of fun. I was Mr. Potato Head. My grandchild knows me as that.
Holly's first present is Mrs. Potato Head. Repeat, Mrs. Potato Head.
Way to go, Idaho.
Gee, I better shave.
How many shows did you have on television?
Well, I had the Don Rickles show. Steve Lawrence and I had like a game show. That was two. I had CPO Sharky, which, by the way, I thought was a good show. I don't know if that's before your time.
No, not at all. That was a great show.
What's the matter with you? Didn't I tell you you're supposed to take charge of the men and worry about the time? You big moose. You don't know what's going on. I can't put you in charge of anything. I don't understand you. You see your head? The last time I saw a head like that was on a wall over a bar in Teaneck, New Jersey. You big dummy.
And I thought that was, I'm not crying over spilled milk, you know, but, Joe, I think that should have, and today's standards, it still might have been going, you know what I'm saying?
How long did it go for?
Just barely a year, about a season. And it wasn't fair to us, but because I thought it was good.
Pruitt.
Yes, sir?
Go milk a giraffe.
And I had that, and then recently, then I had a show with Richard Lewis called Daddy Dearest, which was outrageous, but that's what they wanted. Then they got cold feet and canceled it.
You never satisfied me in bed, Al.
Oh, jeez.
I satisfied you plenty.
I didn't even know I had an O-spot till I was 58 years old. 58 years old. A lady on a bus had to tell me.
Here's your O-spot, a big zero.
I'm not feeling too good right now.
Is good sex too much for me to ask for before I drop dead? Is it?
Why don't you drop dead and we'll find out?
So you count them off. There it is.
Is there a situation that you would go back to?
Oh, sure. There's never say never. As long as I have my health, which I have, thank God, and the right property came along and somebody offered it to me in a minute, sure.
Tell us a little bit about your friendship with Bob Newhart. We often hear of you two going off onto various trips and so forth and always having great stories.
Yeah, well, we just came back from South America about 4 or 5 months ago, and we had a wonderful time together. And his wife and my wife, many, many years ago, before we were both married, became very good friends. My wife was a picture agent secretary, and his wife, Jen, was an extra in movies and so forth, and always around. Her father was a well-known character actor, so she was always around the business. And the two of them became good friends. And Bob is a Midwest guy, completely different than I, and I completely different than he is. And we met in Las Vegas. The wives said, you got to meet Don. His wife said that. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we thought, oh, boy, this is going to be what a mismatch. But what it is that we both have the same values, the same thoughts, laugh at the same stuff. And yet he's a very bright man, and he reads the New York Times, and I read if the Dodgers are going to win. That's the best way I can describe it, but we both get along great, and we have the best fun together when we travel.
So besides the appearance in Kingston, what is Don Rickles working on?
Well, I have a new deal at the Stardust, a 2-year deal, which I'm very happy about, at the Stardust Hotel that I share the stage with Wayne Newton. By that I mean when he's away, I'm there, and at the Stardust, and I have a deal at the 2-year deal at Caesar's Palace in Atlantic City, and then I work all the Indian reservations around the country, which has been another windfall for me, and working a lot of gambling casinos in Mississippi, riverboats, and what have you. As a matter of fact, after Kingston, we will be going down to that part of the world, to New Orleans, to a riverboat, and work on that. And my dance card has done pretty well for this stage of my life.
That's very good. Well, Don Rickles, you're coming to the Broadway Theater in Kingston, New York. We look forward to seeing you there. And thanks so much for being with us this morning. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe, and say hello if you see me.
Don Rickles on the Roundtable in March of 2001. Don Rickles would have been 91 on May 8th. He suffered kidney failure and died Thursday morning at his home in Los Angeles. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.